Well, best regards for all F1 Weekly members and familia from Louis Jansen and Didi Korver. We're right now in Noordwijkerhout, a small village just on the outskirts of Zandvoort. We went to the race today. It was, it was fantastic in a carnival atmosphere. We had enormous amounts of sun these days, which was very nice, because last weekend we were at Spa-Francorchamps and we were rained off the circuit. So we had lots of fun. Of course, Max won the race. That was quite a good race. Hamilton was also very strong, and we enjoyed the race, and we especially enjoyed the crowd. We were on a grandstand facing the Tarzan corner, so we had all the action right in front of us. Well, thank you very much, Clark and Nasser. We would like to give you lots of greetings. Please keep up the good work. And we're signing off from Noordwijkerhout, Louis and Didi.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 902, September 6th, 2021. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. I say lucky 13 for Max, sand in the Vaseline for Lewis. Hasta la vista from Raikkonen means Bottas to be alpha dog. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Bottas to Alfa Romeo for 2022. Everybody loves Zandvoort. Can Max win at Monza? And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program on the servers. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. We know that you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. Thank you. It's a three-day weekend here in the US of A, so I'm loving this extended motorsports weekend. And, sir, from the showers at Spa to the sand dunes of Zandvoort, we have a great home victory in round 13 of this year's championship. And like you say, everybody is loving this track. And I have to say, most circuits are tilke eyes, resulting in thrill is gone. Hockenheimring and the old Österreichring are the best examples. Well, if you go to YouTube and do a Google search on Zandvoort track design, you will find out that this was modified by a different design team. And the results are there. The bank corners are steeper than the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And I found out from this video that there's a F1 limit of 10 degrees for an F1 track, but for this place, they said you can go up to 15 degrees. So the track is like Hungaroring on steroids, constantly turning right and left, but the bankings are very impressive and fun to watch cars go through that. Did that give you a Dutch treat on Sunday, sir?
Absolutely. It was exciting. What a track. Everybody loves this track. And I cannot believe we haven't been here in 36 years. But that's been fixed. Max has fixed everything for everybody in Holland. The queen was there. The king was there. The princess was there. Their dog was there. Every orange t-shirt ever manufactured was there. Great race. I mean, this race had to be won by Max or it would have turned into a funeral. So I'm really glad Max pulled it off. It was great strategy. Mercedes probably exposing some of their weaknesses. Now, finally, we know that Bottas is going to Alfa. I don't know how exciting that's going to be, but I guess he'll take over the leadership role over there from Kimi, and they don't have to change any of the Finnish toiletries. And then on the other hand, there is no announcement about Russell. So I was sort of dreaming and laughing because the thought occurred to me that what if Russell doesn't go to Mercedes after all, and it turns out to be Fernando Alonso?
Well, let me just give you some assurance. A, Alonso is not going there, but even better, Nicholas Latifi is not going there. It will be George Russell. It's just a matter of maybe he has not finished his Fanta or Monster energy drink, and then they will make the announcement. But, sir, any thoughts on the collie? Max on pole by a whisker. You know, that was very impressive. Did you enjoy the collie, sir?
I did enjoy the quali, and sometimes I get concerned about these tight situations. It almost looked scripted. You know, everybody went, whoo, because we had to have Max on pole. We're in Holland. There are rules and regulations to follow. But no, great qualifying. And like you said, Fernando Alonso out-qualified by Ocon, but he did that just so he could snicker, have a few laughs with the team during the Grand Prix. But in the end, Gasly truly is pulling out all the stops at AlphaTauri, and I feel sorry for him because I don't see him going anywhere terrific, especially since Perez has been signed. I guess he could go back as a test driver maybe for Red Bull or just stay at AlphaTauri for a couple more years because he's doing very, very well. So, interesting stuff, people moving around, Williams, I don't know, they're starting to look pretty competitive. Is it all because of George Russell? Perhaps it is. Anyway, there you have it, Nass. Quality was quali. The chinny chin chin hair made it that much more exciting.
Yes, sir, and as far as Pierre Gasly is concerned, he did a very good job to be on row two. But whatever he does, there is, and we can pull out all the stops, but let me tell you where the exclamation mark comes in. Do not go any team where Max Verstappen is numero uno because you're going to get slaughtered again. Okay? I think his best thing is to hang out with AlphaTauri, do the best he can, which he is doing, and then hopefully, sooner or later, Alonso will open the door for him at Alpine, and two French drivers who don't like each other at Alpine would be like having Alain Prost and René Arnoux at Renault after the 1982 French Grand Prix. So there is hope for everybody, including Pierre Gasly. Now, the interesting thing about pole, okay, this was pole number 6 in the last 7 races for the Dutch master. So he is on a serious hot roll. And 6 times this season, the two, meaning him and Sir Hamilton, they have been on the front row together. So this is very good. And the Italian Jesus, also known as Antonio Giovinazzi, he also did a very good job, 7th on the grid. And so that's he's trying to save his bootay at Sauber. Whether it's too late, only time will tell. Max became the first Dutch driver in the Dutch Grand Prix since Jan Lammers in 1982. And today, Jan Lammers is the boss man at Zandvoort. So as you can see, in motor racing, the more things change, the more they remain the same. So that's all very good. And, you know, the track is pretty, I mean, the layout of the track and the dimensions of the track, I was really expecting a lot of wang bang and, you know, shebang during the race, especially on the opening lap. How did you experience the first few laps of the race?
That's a great point. I was stunned that there was no crashing and banging, no red flags, no yellow flags. It was a clean start for everybody, even with Fernando and his tires were a little cold. He was I sort of like shaking his bootay around. It was great. Loved every minute of it. And he got ahead of Ocon rather quickly. But you're right. This actually was a lot more processional than I expected. To be honest with you, If it wasn't for the orange, the screaming fans, the smoke, it was somewhat of a boring race, except for a few incidents. Very processional, no taking out of anybody, because everybody knew they're thinking about Silverstone. Max, can he handle it? Will they touch? Will one go off? Will LCH go off? But none of that happened. It was a very clean race, somewhat processional, a little boring, but there was some good overtakes in the banking. Figuring out the line in the banking was very entertaining throughout the entire Grand Prix. It was a quick Grand Prix, a quick 72 laps. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Same here, sir. 72 laps of Orange Crush. And Peter Windsor called Max's great getaway as Jack Rabbit Start. And at the end, Max made everyone look like jackass, which is his caliber of vis-a-vis the competition. Only the Mercedes drivers were on the same lap as the winner at the end. Everyone else was lapped once or twice, so which was interesting. But sir, it was so interesting after, had a great start, no question, but after a couple of laps, Max was 1.7 seconds ahead of number two on the track, and number two in this case was the seven-time world champion, and of course, being out of the DRS range, there was not much LCH could do, but I'm not sure how DRS would have played out on this track. Now, early in the race, Senor Sergio had a serious lockup, which, of course, you know, the guy started from the pit lane. That pretty much killed the excitement. I was hoping that maybe he can mess up the Mercedes cars. And track, like I said, is not wide like Sepang, and it's more like Hungaro Ring on steroids. So I was not expecting any major passes. So like you said, it was more of a procession. Lap 21, LCH, in for fresh rubber. Did you think that an undercut or an overcut by one of the Mercedes drivers would stop Max from winning the race?
No. Once he had that 1.7 lead after just two laps, I knew Max was in a special mood. A special treat was waiting for him. He had the pressure of all that orange, and there was no way Max could lose this race. Now, on the other hand, there were times when Lewis was catching up, but Max controlled all of that very, very well. It was beautiful.
Yeah, you know, like they say, weekends are made for Michelob. This weekend was made for Max, and I totally agree that once I saw him 1.7 second ahead on lap 2, I thought, you know, dishes are done. And, you know, Lewis stopped on lap 21, and Max came in the very next lap, and that put Mr. Bottas in the lead, if only he could do a one-stopper. Gasly was going gung-ho, qualified on row 2 and holding that position, which was 4th. He did make a nice on-the-outside pass on El Machismo, but you don't want to talk too much about that, so I'm going to move on to lap 29. Max got up to Bottas. Both of these drivers have won F3 Masters, or its actual name, Marlboro F3 Masters, in the past at this track. Lap 31, Max says bye-bye to Bottas and retakes the lead, and that was pretty much the race. Now then, of course, something we used to see a lot in red days. Seb did a replay of his Ferrari days and did a no damage spin. Lap 40, Lewis back in the pits for medium tires, and this is what I thought, maybe we may have something here. The next lap, Max was back in, but he was out of medium tires, so they put on hard tires. And I said to myself, if this was Monza or Spa in the dry, maybe Lewis would have a chance. But at Zandvoort, first Dutch Grand Prix in many years, first time for Max, the king and queen of Holland being there, this was going to be his race. So for final 32 laps, Lewis on mediums and Max on hard tires, soft as the sand dunes of Zandvoort, Max kept his cool and the lead, making Netherlands 12th nation to produce a home winner, which is very good. Now lap 50, Yuki was out, technical issues, not driver induced. And I'm beginning to have a feeling that with Honda leaving, this is last half of the season is his make or break for the season. And there is another item that's going against him, which we will cover in Motorsports Mondial a little bit later in the show. Six laps to go, Max had over a 4-second lead over LCH, and sales of Heineken were spiking. But race fans were in for more entertainment from others. Lap 69, this was beautiful. I think it was lap 68 or 69. Bottas came in for fresh rubber, and he thought, and I also thought the same thing, that he would get extra point for fastest lap, but the team told him that they brought him for vibration. And then, of course, Bottas was going very quick when he heard the Smedley Symphony. Valtteri, this is James. Do not set fastest lap, which he did anyway. So Numero Uno was called in for a new set, and he returned the favor on final lap. Then came the final Dutch treat for the watching millions all over the Mondial. Carlos Sainz Jr. was passed on the outside for sixth by compadre El Super Machismo. The old dog proving once again his bite is worse than his bark. Win number 7 of the season means Max has won more than half the races so far. But Sir Lewis is fighting the good fight. It's not like he has hit the snooze button like car number 77. There was some talk of split strategy for Mercedes drivers and other battle plans. But the Orange Army was going to win the battle on Sunday in Waterloo and Zandvoort. Max has now squeezed a 3-point championship lead over Lewis. I was expecting some sort of carambolage, not only between the front row starters, but somewhere down the line. But once the field completed the opening lap, as we all discussed already, and all cars were running, it was pretty much writing was on the wall in bright orange crayon. But I have to say, Mr. Rogers, this, because everybody is reporting a lot on this. The crowd reaction, even on, I think, Friday or Saturday when Lewis's car stopped on the track, oh man, the crowd was so loud and excited. But there was no booing, which was very impressive. My impression was that this crowd reaction during the weekend was more like Ajax Amsterdam winning the Euro finals over Barcelona than a Formula One race at the track there. And you know what was equally impressive was how complimentary Sir Hamilton was towards the crowd both after Colli and the race. I guess all is fair and quiet as long as Max is winning. Over to you, sir.
Oh, yes. Yes, you're right. Lewis Hamilton was very, very kind and loving. He loved everybody in Holland. He loved Holland. He's going to vacation more in Holland. I mean, he was kissing some bootay because he had pissed off a lot of people with some of his cash and kings and F1 and the FIA and all the criticism that he threw out during the Belgian Grand Prix. So he made amends. And the LCH is a wonderful, wonderful guy. I mean, he had so much luck. But I have to admit that LCH said that Max was the lucky dog with traffic. Apparently, LCH thought that the seas parted when Max arrived, but then closed quickly when he arrived. So I thought those were interesting comments.
Yes, and talking of arrival, did you see Lewis's dress on one of the days on arrival at the track he was wearing? You know, his style is to each his own, not something that you would normally see. But he came in an all-orange dress, which I thought was very nice. So that's one way of connecting with the locals. So that was great. So this victory was number 17 in the life and very fast times of Max Verstappen at the ripe old age of 23, and he has now led over 1,000 laps. Over 1,000 laps by the age of 23. If he gets a package Lewis and Nico had a few years ago, then we are looking at a driver winning 15 to 18 races in a season, which may just happen in the next season or two. Second man, Sir Lewis. I think Lewis sees that unless he gets the package of 2 years ago, this championship is slipping away. There is still a lot of races to do, and anything can happen. But he almost stunned the crowd in Colli because he was very, very close to the local lad. Toto, James, and whoever, Bono, they are going to try every trick in the book because they have now lost the so-called unfair advantage where they are very much faster than the second-place team. So they're going to just do whatever they can to see if he can win number 8. Which is the number of his championship. And Lewis called the Red Bull just too fast and felt Max had an easier time with traffic, which you just alluded to. And, you know, what he said was interesting. And I quote, "I'm going to call him Noah from now on." Wow, that's very impressive. But I think momentum is now back with Max and Monza is next. Already people and Red Bull themselves are saying Mercedes will have the advantage. You know, Monza, they will also have a sprint race, and that may result in a double delight for the Dutch fans. I think, tell me how you think about this. There is still a lot of fight left in Lewis and Mercedes, but I think this will go to the end of the season, and Max and Red Bull will do a boa constrictor job on them and slowly eke out the championship life out of them. Unless there is mega self-destruction by Max, a la Ocon in Sao Paulo, this is going to go all the way to the final two races in Arabian Nights. Honda Power is their magic carpet ride, and Max is their Aladdin. What say you, Senor?
Well, I still think that penalties, grid penalties because of motors is going to be a problem for Honda, because now they're completely out. It's done. And they have to sort of figure out where they want to change motors strategically, where Mercedes does have the upper hand. So we'll see what happens. Monza is pretty tough on motors. Perez got a new motor because he had issues, started from the pit lane. But that was the time to give him a motor because a penalty would have done nothing. He still started from the pit lane. But Mercedes are in pretty good shape. The discontentment from Bottas will slowly bubble up, because right now there's peace and love. Bottas is so happy to have served for the Fourth Reich, whatever Mercedes wants to be called. But in a few races, the bitterness will bubble up that the chances of Bottas winning a world championship are gone. It's done. He's now just an F1 driver that probably will never win a Grand Prix for the rest of his career. So it's going to be tough for Bottas to finish his career over at the Mercedes and move over to the Italianos. But there's going to be some strange stuff. And Lewis, the eighth championship is going to be easier this year with Bottas than it will be next year with his new teammate. So those things are also part of the equation. So Mercedes would like to get the eighth, because next year, new cars, new teammate, it could be far, far away. So there you go. I think it's going to be an interesting end of this season with the Bottas, the Lewis, and Max just under pressure, but showing very little pressure. It's fascinating.
Yes, sir. What is not fascinating is I don't think Mercedes would like to call them the Fourth Reich. And if they do, I would like to see Toto Wolff grow a small mustache. But that's another story. And so, and he's also from Austria, like you know who. So it will, yes, so it will go down well. History repeats itself. And maybe then that's when they will start doing Uber domination again. But we will see. Going back to Bottas, he was third, and he was my hero of the race. Driving a Mercedes, it took him only 13 races to take third place in the championship from Lando Norris and a McLaren. But as all in Finlandia would have noticed with much displeasure, Bottas got another. Valtteri, this is James' message. And this was written before the news came out about him joining Sauber Alfa Romeo. I wrote, hopefully Toto will take him out of this misery after a nice gelato and walk in Parco Monza. So they are running ahead of the game, which is good. Only the top three finished on the same lap. Very impressive for a 90-minute race. I think Formula One should have a cap of 90 minutes actual running. And you know, Monza is over in like 1 hour and 15 minutes. So that is just very, very good motor racing. Fourth, Pierre Gasly started from fourth and finished fourth. He has now scored points in 10 of 13 races, which is very good for money coming into AlphaTauri coffers. Very impressive for a driver discarded by Dr. Marco at Red Bull. Gasly has made a complete wasabi of his highly touted teammate Yuki. Fifth, Charles Leclerc. The Ferrari ace and team are still winless so far this season, which is very sad. But fifth for Leclerc and seventh for teammate Sainz Jr. give the team 16 points and helped the Prancing Horse jump to third place in the Constructors' Championship. Ahead of McLaren, as only Lando Norris finished in the points in 10th, and he had a pretty off day compared to his normal bubbly self. Norris was trading paint. This was very exciting. He was trading paint in the race with Sergio Perez and later said he was squeezing him as he is not interested in making life easier for Perez or any other driver. Norris was the last man running in the points ahead of his teammate, the smiling but knifeless assassin of the season, Senor Daniel Ricciardo. Checo was 8th. And, you know, your man, Alonso, he was outpaced by his teammate and colleague, but at the start, Nando showed him who's the boss, and with the lap to go, Machismo made muy bueno on the outside pass on Carlito, and Carlito was classified 7th behind Alonso. After the race, Sainz Jr. said he had no pace on the car. Let's hope Prancing Horse has a lot of pace, as next race is their home Grand Prix, Parco Monza. Checo did a good job starting from the pit lane and always, I would probably say the best job with tires, came into the points. And he got like 27% of the votes and was voted driver of the day by fans. And both Ocon and Nando ran a one-stop strategy. Ocon ended up 9th, and like Sainz Jr., he did not really have a good day. But hopefully his Angaro Rain victory will be repeated sooner. So in the final analysis, Mr. Rogers, for me, I hope rain and pain from Spa is now lost in the fog of orange flares of Zandvoort. Okay, sir, we would also like to thank our F1 Weekly Familia member, Louis Jensen and Miss Didi. They were at the Dutch Grand Prix, which is the home Grand Prix, so I'm sure they had a good time. And thank you for the photographs and audio report. And they were also at Spa, so we look forward to our next meeting, hopefully somewhere near a canal for breakfast in Amsterdam. Thank you. Anything you may want to add on the race, sir?
Well, it was a cheeky day for everybody at Zandvoort. We got Max where he wanted to be. Now we know where Bottas is going to be. And I'm really glad this is all behind us, because when we go to Monza, Monza is a very important Grand Prix for everybody. And if Red Bull could just eke out a little extra straight line speed, take some of that downforce off, it's going to be an interesting Grand Prix, because if Lewis Hamilton cannot beat Max at Monza, I think that is a telltale sign that Mercedes are drifting back and Max is moving forward into the future. So on that note, let's take a quick break and we'll be back after this brief message.
Hi, I'm Juan Pablo Montoya, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And there was no IndyCar racing, so we're going to stay by the Dutch seaside and get some more information for the F1 Weekly Familia. As we'll start with Formula 3, there was no Formula 2 race this weekend. There were three races, two on Saturday, main race on Sunday. So race one, winner Leclerc, as in Arthur Leclerc, brother of you-know-who, and he is also part of FDA, Friday Driver Academy. Logan Sargeant from Boca Raton, Florida was second. Honda driver Ayumu Iwasa was third. Race two, French Doublet with Victor Martin winning over Clément Novalak. David Schumacher was 5th. Race 3, pole man from Norway and part of Red Bull Academy won the race and extended his lead in the championship. Novalak was 2nd again. Russian Alexander Smolyar was 3rd. And in the standings, Dennis Hauger leads 193 points. Jack Doohan from Australia 2nd, 150. And Novalak 3rd, 122 points. In some Formula 2 news, Enzo Fittipaldi, whom we interviewed recently at St. Petersburg, he is now moving up to this series from F3, where he was racing recently, and this will be for rest of the season, so we wish him well. And here is the threat to Yuki Tsunoda. DTM from Red Bull Ring. Okay? Race 1 victory to Red Bull Junior Liam Lawson in a Ferrari. He is also doing an outstanding job in Formula 2. Another Red Bull driver, Alexander Albon, was fourth, also in a Ferrari. Indian driver and BFF of Santino Ferrucci, Arjun Maini, was sixth in a Mercedes. Second race of the weekend was rinse and repeat for Lawson, which means if Yuki does not put in performance head and shoulders above his teammate come 2022, he may be singing Celts and Blues in Formula E or some other formula. We all know Dr. Marco is a dedicated fan of Drano. Clear the slow-moving sludge pronto. And that's my homage to corporate America today. In the championship, South African Kelvin van der Linde, who is a very good driver, still leads the championship with 147 points. Lawson is second on 135 points. Sir, in the past, Red Bull has had some issues not having enough talented drivers in their pipeline. Right now they have a few. What do you think about Lawson replacing Yuki Tsunoda?
I think that's a great idea. He is very talented, very quick, and he's humble and wonderful.
And he's putting all together, which is the most important thing. I mean, you can be not humble and, you know, say things that may come back to bite you, but you have to deliver on the track. But if you are not delivering, then, you know, we have an issue. And sir, we're going to go back to Zandvoort so we can move beyond the glass ceiling and arrive at Formula W, the ladies series. Alice Powell was the winner and now shares the championship lead with second place driver Jamie Chadwick, who won the series last year. Both are from UK, and pole sitter from Finlandia, Emma Kimilainen, was third. Okay, sir, now we have to go back to what we really like here, Formula One, and the news of Kimi Raikkonen announcing his retirement. Any surprise for you on that end?
No, I mean, he's 42. We expected him to retire 10 years ago, really, but we call him Teflon Kimi for a reason. And he just kept hanging in there and hanging in there to the surprise of all of us.
Yes, you know, and they are replacing a Finn for Finn. But as far as Kimi Raikkonen is concerned, you know, stats show that he had 341 starts, most of all drivers, 21 wins, one championship. His 103 podiums is in the top five of all drivers. But for me, man, this is a guy who I would consider one of the most talented who ever sat in a racing car. And the fact that he came into Formula One after doing like 23, 24 races in Formula Renault Euro Cup, which was a 2-liter car, and be so impressive that Peter Sauber would lose Red Bull sponsorship because they did not want him. They wanted Enrique Bernoulli. So I have a tremendous respect for his natural racing talent. How he has used those and how he has operated is his life. But the Kimi I know of the McLaren days is one of the greatest talents I have ever seen in Formula One since I've been following since the 73 season. You know, that Japan victory, I mean, unbelievable, starting from so back and winning the race against one of our favorites, Fisico. And what will really stand out for me, this my everlasting memory of Kimi Raikkonen as the F1 driver was, you know, we talk about this race a lot, because it was such a great win. The 2005 San Marino Grand Prix won by your hombre. But it was Kimi on pole position. And if you watch that race again, which I did a few days ago, because I've watched this for many times, he had a start that day just like Max had on Sunday. And then his McLaren broke down, which happened quite a few times. So he lost a championship there once or twice. But these things happen, so I don't know if I will miss him, but obviously I will remember him as one of the greatest talents to come into racing. And of course, all those comments he made, you know, leave me alone, I know what I'm doing, will always be remembered very well. And so was his classic comment when he did not attend the prize-giving ceremony to Schumacher when he was retiring in the final race in Sao Paulo with Ferrari. And Pele was giving the trophy, special trophy to him, Kimi telling Martin Brundle he missed it because he was having a caca, which was very, you know, I don't know if I can use the word classic for that, but it was very unique. And Martin Brundle had a equally fantastic response saying, at least you will have a lighter car. So on that wonderful note, I will turn it over to you as to how you will remember Kimi and any comments you may have for him.
I will miss him. He was great. His silence was great. That's what Vettel commented on. And his, you know, we have Raikkonen-isms now, like that quote of yours, I was having a caca. I think that's great. No, but he was so quick. So fantastic. His first season in 2001 was exciting because he was so young and so talented. And then we had Fernando and we had Juan Pablo Montoya that season. It was a great season. But no, very, very impressive career. I was happy that he won the championship for Ferrari. I thought he was great at Ferrari. And I think Sebastian Vettel misses teammates like that. And I'll remember the fragile McLaren that broke down on him and let him down. But it was so fast. It was so, so fast. Those were great days. And all of that's on YouTube. Kimi Raikkonen will be around. He'll, you know, he'll come to America maybe and do some racing. You never know.
Yes, and of all this thing, you know, now is past and all that drinking and doing this and that. It's good to see he is very devoted to his family, so that's very nice. But, you know, his son Robin is growing up. I don't know how old he is, 5 or 6. And I will not be surprised if in a couple of seasons we see Kimi Raikkonen, just like we see children of Riccardo Patrese and Jarno Trulli, and Keke Rosberg's son has become a world champion. So I think the name Raikkonen will be around the racing circles. I am just hoping that when he's not racing and his son is racing, maybe he will be more open to having a conversation where he will say a few more words apart from yes and no, but only time will tell. Okay, sir, so Sauber Alfa Romeo is replacing one fin for another fin, and that is basically moving away from a almost 42-year-old to a 32-year-old fin, Mr. Valtteri Bottas. You know, we have interviewed him a few times before he reached Formula One. And even when he reached Formula One, I've met him a couple of times, had a little chat here and there. He is very nice kid, very nice person, very humble, down to earth. And, you know, his only crime is that he got to be teammate with Lewis Hamilton, and that's not going to work for anyone. And we'll see how far George Russell goes. But we wish everybody all the best. Kimi Raikkonen, as we have said before, you know, once upon a time came through the usual karting ranks, beat Daniel Ricciardo in the Formula Renault Euro Cup when that series was very strong. And then, you know, what he really impressed me is when he was in GP3, halfway through the season, he was nowhere to be seen. He just could not adjust to the tires. At least that was his, you know, reasoning for not doing well. But then came from nowhere to win the championship, which I had predicted before the season started, so I'm very thankful for him keeping me on the straight. So that was good. And now, you know, with he got a great chance with Mercedes, and I think he did all he could, or anybody in that seat would have done against Lewis. He had 9 wins between 2017 and up till now. 17 pole positions, which is quite a bit of pole positions. And just with Williams, he had 54 podium finishes, and he had a few with Williams also. So this is a new challenge for him, but obviously, you know, going from a for sure championship and race-winning team to a team that will fight for 9th or 8th, maybe things will improve with the new rules and new owners there, but time will tell. And Frederick Vasseur, who's the team principal at Sauber Alfa Romeo, this is what he had to say, and I quote, "I don't want to have a situation of number one and number two, but at least he won't be in the shadow of someone," end quote. And Bottas won his GP3 championship with Frederick Vasseur's ART Grand Prix team, and his team also won the GP2 championship with that someone that he was referring to, the lucky one, the mega one, and one who will soon have 100 Grand Prix wins. And that's the one I am waiting for. What number are you waiting for, Mr. Rogers?
I'm not waiting for a number. I'm a free man, Nasser. So, yeah. But, that 100th Grand Prix win, it's not coming so quickly, is it?
No, it's not, because I remember when Michael Schumacher was trying to hit number 68 pole position to match Ayrton Senna, and that got delayed quite a bit, courtesy of Juan Pablo Montoya taking a lot of pole position. But this 100 win has become a real struggle for Lewis. But like you said, he's fighting the good fight, and as you will say, pretty soon he's going to get lucky. But I am really, there are very few things in motor racing that really will excite me. And, you know, arrival of a mega talent like Max is one of them. The cage rattling of 2007 is another. But a driver reaching, and this has nothing to do with liking or disliking anyone, but a driver reaching 100 Grand Prix wins in my lifetime, I mean, that's just, that calls for, celebration, okay? I will tell you, if Lewis wins number 8 championship this year, he's toppling Michael Schumacher. Who would have thought? But at the same time, if Max beats him and stop that runner, you know, out of control winning train, then that is equally impressive. And that will be coming on the back of a Honda engine, the engine that McLaren paid, I think, $20-25 million to end the association. And that engine is going to power a whippersnapper to his first world championship. So there's a lot of very important historical and exciting entertainment awaiting us in Yas Marina. And I'm going to tell you, man, if my employer ends my contract in November, right now it's scheduled to end at the end of December, but they can blow me out anytime. But if they blow me out in November, then Moa will make sure that he is at Yas Marina to witness that epic occasion, whether it's number 8 or a number 1 Dutch treat. So time will tell. And sir, I do have one request.
See.
Please, can you enlighten us with over the weekend NASCAR entertainment?
Well, they were at your favorite track, Darlington, but I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it because I was busy re-watching the Dutch Grand Prix.
Okay, there'll be other times.
But I'll try to have more NASCAR news for you next week.
Please. Yeah, NASCAR goes well with Monza has the banking. And no, I heard somewhere that new guy in charge of Monza track or Italian automobile club, he's trying to raise $100 million, and he's saying that he will find it from somewhere because they want to refurbish the Monza banking and hold races there, if not a Formula One race, but other, you know, touring cars and sports cars. And some years ago, some stupido idioto person in Italy was asking for the demolition of the Monza banking. You gotta be kidding me, man. This is an integral part of motor racing history. And I love it. We want the banking to be there. And if it can be restored, that's just going to be absolutely beautiful.
Yes, the banking is tremendous in Monza. I've been there. I've walked it. I've been underneath it. It is a little rough. I have to admit, $100 million, when I think about it, would be cheap if they could just get that banking redone for $100 million. I think it's worth every penny. But I think it's going to be a little more expensive than that. But he's being conservative, I suppose, not to scare people. But yes, they'll get it done. I guarantee it.
Okay, now we come to Musical Mondial. We had the Dutch Grand Prix and the Kimi Raikkonen retirement news over the weekend. So here is a little blast from the past. Please enjoy Dutch singer Sandra Reimer. And thank you for listening.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
The party's over now. At least I dream it's over. smile.